This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. We're Dan Johnson. He is president of the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Dan, the numbers of exhibitors are down a little bit, but it seems like attendance is up.
Well, you know, they announced here, Russ, that the opening day was the largest opening day they've ever had in the 8 years now. This is the eighth running. And it did seem pretty good yesterday, and the crowds today are substantially better. So, yeah, people look at exhibitors because it's an easy thing to count, look at, and right where we are right now, I see some empty spaces. And so they obviously have room for a few more. Now, some of that may be accountable to those that just didn't get here for technical reasons, airplane problems of one kind or another, or weather. But I suspect that maybe exhibitors are down a little, although when you look at the information on their website, it's pretty substantial. The good news is that compensating for that is that more of them, or more of the ones that are here, are sponsoring. That is, offering some more money to help these folks put on this show. I was told by the guy who was the main man here for the first 7 years, Bob Wood, that this is about $250,000 budget to put on this particular show, and this is just an LSA show. So it takes some doing, but they seem to be weathering the change of management very well, and they are enjoying fantastic weather this year.
I think everybody's waiting for a shakeout or waiting for a rationalization of the LSA industry and looking at numbers like this. Is there any evidence that that some of that shakeout is happening?
Well, actually there is, and I hesitate to call it shakeout more than sort of market proving. Here's what we have. We've got 80-some manufacturers of special light sport aircraft, specials being fully built light sport aircraft. And so there's over 80 manufacturers of them, and yet the top 20 producers, when you get down to the number 20 position, that only represents 25 or so units made in 6 years' time. So clearly it is a concentration at the top 10 or maybe 12 that are accounting for most of the sales. And the reality of it is, while those other companies may not have gone out of business, the market has said, well, we looked at everything and we liked the other one better. And so some of those companies are either doing other things or concentrating on foreign markets. The foreign market, which is really the big story about light sport aircraft, it may have been founded and started and given energy in this country, the United States, but the reality of it is it is spreading around the world. There's an increasing number of countries accepting ASTM standards for their certification, and that means that if you make an airplane, you don't have to just sell well in the United States. You can go to other countries where, for example, some of the alternative aircraft we have, weight shift, powered parachutes, gliders, and so forth, have bigger followings in countries outside of the U.S. So it's hard to say how many of those will really go away and never come back, because they're very small businesses. They can hang on through thick and thin almost better than a big company because they don't have the big overhead and high salaries and so forth. But the reality of it is the market has embraced certain brands, certain models more than others, and there's where your real proof is.
The new initiative by EAA and AOPA to get rid of the third class, get a waiver for the third class medical for larger aircraft under certain circumstances, it seems like the organizations and the FAA might be trying to throw you a bone.
Well, that was the latest thing that we heard at our Llama dinner last night. We have our fifth annual Llama dinner down here. We always do it at Sebring. We have the largest collection of LSA professionals anywhere in the world. And because of that, we last year were able to draw Craig Fuller, the president of AOPA, to come and speak to us. This year we had Rod Hightower, the president of EAA, to come and speak to us. And we've also had appearances by Pete Bunce of Gamma, an association everyone knows, and that Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, or LAMA, is more closely associated with. So, yes, we've had quite a parade of notables, of high-powered people in aviation coming to our little LSA show here. But what you're speaking about is that the third-class medical was widely viewed with wariness by the LSA community when it was first announced at AOPA Summit last October. And there were some cancellations of sales right away, but that angst has died down, it seems, considerably. Nonetheless, the word got back to these big associations that the LSA community was unhappy, not that they had the initiative, but that all these people in this industry have poured heart and soul, and in many cases a good bit of their life savings into their businesses, and they took umbrage with the change that they didn't know that was coming about the third class medical. So Last night, Mr. Hightower announced to us that AOPA and EAA would put their considerable horsepower to work and see if they can find some weight increases for light sport aircraft for safety systems. And exactly what that means and exactly what that initiative is not known yet. Rod Hightower indicated that by saying that it was at the very beginning stages, but it was something as kind of a give back to the community for the takeaway that some felt the third class medical exemption might be.
Does it further define LSA's place in the marketplace, that you can have that sort of retroactive respect?
Well, I think so. I actually wouldn't call it retroactive respect, Russ. I would say that it's respect that we are just now gaining. And, you know, let me give an analogy here. A country that wants to sell aviation products into the United States has to have something called a BSA, or a bilateral safety agreement. And countries, let's pick one. Slovenia has a place of some manufacturing in their country, and they do not have a BSA with the United States. And we asked FAA personnel, well, how long does it take to get one? And they said, well, about 7 years, because they have to build up trust with the regulatory authorities in that country. This situation is somewhat similar. We're actually coming on the 7-year mark from the very first approval. That'll be this April. It'll be 7 years since the first LSA was approved. And in that time, I think we finally won some respect from those in high-powered positions in the aviation community. And they are admitting now what we have been preaching for some time, that this LSA and the Sport Pilot Certificate combined together is the new entry point for most new pilots. Some will start in other places, and currently they are starting in other places because there's more availability of those services. But more and more flight schools are beginning to embrace light sport aircraft because they're less expensive to purchase new, and their operational costs are considerably less, and yet they're very modern and very quiet. That makes for good neighbor relations. They're roomy. They have a lot to say. And the new student that drives up to the airport and sees a line of well-worn GA airplanes that have seen and done a lot of great service, no question, but they look like they've done a lot of great service, and there's a shiny new LSA out there with all the latest computerized stuff in the panel, guess which one they choose. And the flight schools are recognizing that, and you can get a pilot's license for under $4,000 compared to about $8,000 to $10,000 for a private certificate. So it is effectively the new starting point, and I think they're beginning to realize that, but also that we have continued to clean up our act as an industry, to work harder to do the things that are necessary to win people's trust, and I believe that's what's happening now. We're finally winning over some of the doubters, and I appreciate that it takes time, but we're glad that time may have finally arrived.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.